Forgot your name, so.
Ken and Lisa.
Okay. Glad to have you here. I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 3. I was reading an article this afternoon, just kind of looking for some thoughts to focus on tonight, and one statement stood out to me and sent me down this course, and I'll mention that statement in a little bit, but I want to read just a few verses, passages of Scripture here first. 1 Kings chapter 3, and begin in verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with the king of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." A blank check. What do you want, Solomon? The God who there is nothing too hard for. "Ask what I shall give thee," he said. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked life of thine enemies, but asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Anything you want, Solomon, ask. And his request pleased God so much, he said, "I'm going to bless you beyond your imagination to give you the things that most of us, given that opportunity, would probably ask for." He says, "It's all yours, Solomon." And he gave it to him. Look at chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's go to chapter 17 first. 17 verse 1. And then we'll go over to James and look at this as well. But chapter 17 of 1 Kings verse 1. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thy eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, keep your finger here and go over to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm sorry, James chapter 5 verse 16. James 5, 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Not bigger than life. Not some fantastic, huge giant. Just a man, just like any of us here tonight. Subject to like passions, such as we are. The same struggles, the same fears, as we see him later on fleeing from Jezebel. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. As I pointed out before, there's nothing in the Scriptures that shows that God directed him to ask that. He just asked. God, things are bad. Now, there was some basis in Scripture because back in Deuteronomy, God had told Moses, look, when things get bad and people turn away from me, I'll withhold the rain. So Elijah said, okay, God, this scenario fits what you promised back there. I'm going to claim that promise. Shut the heavens off. And he did. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He said, it will not rain again, but by my word. That's what Elijah said. And God honored that. Ask what I shall give thee. Go now to chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings. This, of course, is Elijah once again facing the prophets of Baal. And he's challenging them. And let's start in verse 22 of 1 Kings 18. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. Let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Again, Elijah is taking the initiative to make this request. God didn't direct him to do this. He says, God, I'm going to put you to the test. Let's just see what you'll do. Of course, then he prayed after waiting all day for them to get done with their malarkey. And God sent the fire down and it consumed the sacrifice and all the water that he had saturated with and everything. They simply asked for God to do something. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. Again, passage I'm sure you're all familiar with, well familiar with. Verse 17, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are facing the fiery furnace. And they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set. And God preserved them through the fire, so that their garments weren't, no smell of smoke on them, and not touched. But it consumed those who threw them in the fire. Ask what I shall give thee. Here's a statement that caught my attention. Jesus never criticized anyone for expecting too much from him. Think about that. God repeatedly challenges his people. Ask me. And we see those who rose to that challenge and what God did on their behalf. Because they said, okay, God, let's see what you'll do. Now, I understand there's sometimes God says no. But when we ask according to his will, there is no limit to what God can or will do. Ask what I shall give thee. He says, you have not, because you ask not. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That verse amazes me, but it shames me at the same time. Because God says, hey, I can do it. Just trust me. Just walk with me. Do what I ask. And you'll be amazed at what I will do. What I can do. You know, Dwight L. Moody, I believe, was said that the world has yet to see what God can do through a man completely surrendered to him. Ask what I shall give thee. Matthew chapter 20. Some examples from the New Testament here. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I will do unto you, shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Ask what I shall give thee. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Just like that. What do you want? Okay. No criticism. Just a response. Verse 18. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling of his couch into the midst before Jesus. I mean, they tore the roof apart and they dropped them down in front of him, interrupting the service. How would we respond to something like that today? What are you doing? Now, Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Ask what I shall give thee. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 42. For he had, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him they would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Of course, he's delayed on the way, and the woman reached out and touched his garment in this instant, and she received healing. And then he delayed. By the delay, she is dead when he gets there, which I believe he knew she was going to be anyway, but that's not a problem for him. But the thing is, the man came, besought him, and Jesus responded, Ask what I shall give thee. He might say no, but he never criticized for being asked. In fact, he repeatedly tells us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But we have not, because we ask not. And we ask and receive not, because we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lusts. I understand there's more to the prayer thing. It's not a name and claim it type thing. You understand that. But sometimes I think we're just too hesitant to put it before God. Paul did. Lord, there's this messenger of Satan that's buffeting me. And three times he besought the Lord about that. Well, in that case, he didn't get it, did he? Well, what did he get? Grace to sustain him. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, okay, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. But God did not criticize him for asking, even though in that case he wasn't granting the request. What do you need tonight? God's capable. It may not be his will, but he is capable. But too often times, because we don't ask, we don't receive. I hope that challenge is an encouragement to you tonight. We've got a letter.